Well, you've had plenty, but it's an important topic. So one more, Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, just in terms of this motion, in order to feel totally comfortable with it, given Mr. Hooper's comments, that it's almost like going back to pre-DAP days where the council was given advice, legal advice and planning advice, that we'd have all that information and we'd be equipped to make a decision. And I seek from the CEO an absolute commitment that we will have the staff on tap at those meetings. We had a meeting the other day in regards to a planning matter. There was nobody here that left us ill-equipped to make a decision on a planning policy matter.
Mr. Scull?
I give you the guarantee that when these issues come up, Councillor, that we'll have the planning staff on there with the expertise to give you some comfort in the decision you make.
Councillor Pryor?
Just a quick one about going forwards. The $3 million mark is predominantly at the moment commercial property by the looks. Going forwards, I think there's probably more scope for more residential developments to become or to break that $3 million ceiling. I guess, is there some sort of crystal ball you can gaze into, Mr. Hooper, and say what sort of timeframes are we looking at before this gets out of control and we start getting every third development here?
Mr. Hooper?
Look, that is a legitimate question. There's no doubt about it. It might be something that you monitor for 12 months. I think that if the rezonings happen that create suburban neighbourhood zones, Tonsley gets rezoned, you may have a number of $3 million developments. But they might be that DAC is the relevant authority anyway, but not as in being called in. So this is purely for ones that would otherwise be with council that are being called in, not just matters that would normally go to DAC. So, but yeah, it's probably worthwhile monitoring, and if the numbers increase, then it might be a case of pull back on it or trial it or something. But yeah, good question.
All right. Councillor Hutchinson, did you wish to close the debate?
No, thanks, Your Worship.
Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by majority. Members, with power comes responsibility. Councillor Hutchinson, I'll give you the opportunity, if you wish, to make a personal explanation.
I'll take the opportunity since everything's being recorded here because it's going to be great evidence tomorrow. Members, I don't own any properties on George Street, Marion, so I've got nothing to declare in closing the intersection of Dwyer Road for traffic flow for our residents who have been concerned for many years, so that's it.
Fair enough. Just wanted to give you that opportunity out of fairness. Thank you, Mr. Hooper. But actually, we might need you there because we've got another matter on page 203, this time to do with the Development Assessment Panel. Members have read the report. You know that the planning regime is changing. It does make sense to defer decision-making a little until we know really what the framework is. Is there any latest news, Mr. Hooper, you can add?
Sadly, no.
All right. So this is one. Members will be aware that the two current members, professional members of the DAP, have been recommended by our committee to continue post 1st of July. But because we don't know what we would be appointing them to, it does make sense to defer that decision.
Any LGA advice on this, Mr. Mayor?
Any LGA? Any managers heard of any LGA advice?
No,
Mr. Hooper.
Through the chair, all the LGA have said is to continue to follow updates on the SA planning portal, which councils are paying for anyway, which makes sense. But the information you have before you is the latest update, so there's nothing else.
Mr. Scull?
The Coordinator General, though, has said that this is going to happen, and it'll be happening sooner rather than later, from 1st of July.
The only other thing I'd add is that my faith in the new system was greatly diminished when on page 206, Appendix 1, regarding the new system, I noted in the headline the superfluous apostrophe. Now, Would someone like to move the motion as printed? Councillor Crossland, seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. On page, thank you, Mr. Hooper, and we wish you well. Page 208. Councillor Crossland is leaving the room. We're here to decide or comment on the Council Solutions and Southern Regional Waste Resource Authority draft business plans and budgets.
Question, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Hull.
For many years, we've heard a lot about research and development with waste disposal by SWARA. Can the administration indicate brief and explanatory terms what is happening on that front in terms of R&D with this area? I've heard that it is happening, but over the years I haven't really seen much demonstration of it.
Who would like to respond? Mr. Skull. Mr. Mifsud is on the board. He's not here. Mr. Skull, it's up to you.
Chair, I'll have to take that on notice. Council Solutions aren't anything to do with SWARA, so although Council Solutions certainly have gone out to try and get the six councils together to put in a joint bid for waste services, which you would have heard of. But the R&D, I'd have to take on notice and get Mr. Mifsud to let you know.
It's just point three of the recommendation is advise SWARA that it supports, that we support, the draft business plan and their budget, Appendix 2.
Ms. Thwaites is pointing to page 219, which might be of assistance. Yes, if you look halfway down the page, Councillor Hull, the authority is continuing its innovative approach to waste management with the development of a bioremediation treatment area to complement the operational strategy of the resource recovery facility. Not much to go on, but there's a little bit of detail. Perhaps that can be taken on notice. Thank you. Would anyone like to move as printed?
Did you move as printed, Your Worship, if no one else is?
Councillor Valescu has moved. I suppose what I'm sensing is a tentative approach from elected members, and I think that may be because we have what is actually a pretty scanty report on what are some very significant documents for multi-million dollar ventures in which we have shares. So the description of Council Solutions in the report from our management really just says that we're asked to provide a written report. It doesn't evaluate it. And in terms of SWARA, at least we have the comment the plan supports the vision, values and priorities over the next 12 months, etc., consistent with the charter. So really, I think elected members were hoping for a bit more evaluation of what's in this complicated set of documents. Mr. Skull, is there anything you can add on the spot?
No, Your Worship, I think that's a good point. The two business plans actually are brief, but I think they actually come to the point on both of them, and I think they're both good documents, but we certainly could have done more on explaining the relevant points for each for the council, for the City of Marion, I think.
Through the Chair.
Mr. Randall.
And just a brief comment, just to give a bit of outline on the Council Solutions budget, they're obviously proposing a balanced budget for next year. They're also requesting funding to support two projects, the Unified Communications Project and the Waste Services Project, which councils said they're the two main projects. But including in that, they are proposing a balanced budget for next year. And as I said, the SWARA budget is a fairly solid budget position, and it's in line with the strategic projects that council and SWARA have. So,
I have a question. On page 214, there's some terminology that I find a bit challenging. Indirect labour represents the CEO salary as well as the administration staff, and is allocated on a pro rata basis to each activity with reference to the total direct costs budgeted on it for each item. Could I ask that there be more transparency with the CEO salary and administration costs, so at a glance we can see what the CEO is actually being paid, rather than being lumped in a spreadsheet along with other sundry administration costs and labour costs?
Well, often it's done at least within a range, so that you've got an idea of how many people earn over 100,000 or over 80,000, whatever. But yes, Mr. Scull has taken that on board. Look, I've got another one. Page 210, Council Solutions Draft Budget, 3C... talks about us spending in principle support for funding for two projects. Now, presumably that doesn't commit us, but I'd like to check that. And then it says these projects are contained in item 2 of this report. Now, what does that item 2 refer to? Can't find it.
I would imagine, sorry to the Chair, that they're referring to item 2, which is on page 212, which is the budget for 17-18.
Oh, I see the actual...
So the
actual budget table.
Yeah, so the projects are actually included in the budget for 17-18.
And the other part of the question was, having a motion that says we provide in principle support, does that mean that we budget for it, or do we wait for more information?
The assumption that we are providing in principle support, I assume we should budget for it. Should we choose not to support it, then we can obviously adjust our budget.
Okay.
And the funding we're talking about there is the 60,000 is for the entire project. The first project, our share would be 10,000 of that. And the other project is 150, and we'll have to contribute 25 to that project.
Thank you, Mr. Barnwell. Councillor Gard.
Yeah, just a little thought here that I just try to work out what is the main thrust of the agenda item, whether it's the funding to be supplied by the City of Marion or whether it is the notation of the... of the business plans and reports. There's no reflection in the subject of any funding, and I'm just thinking from the point of view of serviceability in the future that we could perhaps rename the report to start off with, or the subject to start off with, then it might just be a little bit easier to have perspective on how to vote or whether to vote, even, on the recommendations.
Well, sorry, Councillor Gard, what are you suggesting, that it should be Carrick, last.
Just taking a little bit of a line from what you said, you and I were thinking the same at the same time about the same subject, that part two of the recommendation talks about the provision of funding for the Unified Communications Project, $60,000, and Waste Services Project at $150,000, and yet when you come up to the subject of the report on the very first page, it's Council Subsidiaries, Draft Budget and Business Plan Review, and it doesn't really have any connection with the all-important, to us at least, funding item.
Well, I suppose that is the difficulty, that we've got these two projects. I mean, we could say it's only 210,000 divided by six, but there's actually no description of what those projects are. That's the odd thing. Unless I'm missing something, in their own budget, their own report, it doesn't actually describe what those projects are. I mean,
through the chair,
Mr. Bunnell,
I might be able to give some small level of detail, because it actually isn't in the report. They say that there will be further details in the final annual business plan for council solutions. And the unified, upon what I understand this, and I don't know if Mr. Scull will be able to clarify, but the unified communications project is it's a clever approach to approaching the market for phone systems and PABX replacements. We have a member of ICTC team that sits on the project panel for that. The waste services project relates to the continuation of work in relation to a collaborative approach to the market in relation to waste contract. You will note that there was a report which went to the ACCC which was knocked back. So I think there's further work on that to find a solution to approach the market. That's what that one's about.
Okay, thank you. Well, we have a mover. Do we have a seconder? Seconding, any comment? Is anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. But I think this one is that's one that comes up every year, isn't it?
Yep.
So I think we just need more evaluation from our own management to be able to endorse these organisations' budgets and plans. Mr. Scull?
I agree, and I make a commitment that next year when they've got when they're asking for funding from Council Solutions for their major projects, and by the way, both of those projects that Mr. Barnwell's described will get a return far exceeding our $35,000 investment. If we get three councils working together, for example, to do all our waste, we'll make significant saving. But I think we needed to actually give some more detail, which we do have, and we should have provided that in the report.
Right, members, on to page 230, and here's the review. Oh, sorry, Councillor Telfer.
Yeah.
Yeah, the review of delegations.
Yep.
Councillor Telfer, to move. You're jumping the gun. I could see you're so keen, Councillor. You just about jumped out of your chair with that one. Yes, you'd want a good fraud and corruption policy, wouldn't you? But Mr. Scull or Mr. Barnwell, you're going to answer that one?
Through the chair. And the delegation, the first delegation of their... So essentially what happens is that as the managers you've mentioned there have a delegation up to $1 million. There are certain contracts within council which are substantial. So the lower end of things, where it's sub-delegated down, all... that has to come up through the hierarchy. So if you've got $10,000 delegations, if it's over that delegation, it would go up to the next line of manager, which has a higher delegation. And then the highest level, which is the three GMs, which have $1 million, apart from one, which is the contracts manager, which, because we sign off on the waste contract, which is a substantial contract in the order of $4 million, he has a higher delegation for that particular contract. So generally that's how it works, and it's in the system, it's locked in the system, so I couldn't sign off on anything above 25,000. I would have to go to Vinny to sign off on that because he's a higher delegation than me.
The sign-off is to some form or some particular structure?
We have an online requisition system which actually captures every authorised order. So if I would raise the order, it would go through to Vinny. So that's captured electronically, that I raised the order and he signed the order. So I couldn't sign off my own orders. I would have to go to him, and that's captured electronically through our online purchasing requisition system.
And presumably there's always a second person who cites the authorisation to pay.
Yes, to the same person. It has to be two people that has to sign off on it, yeah.
Mr. Scott?
I was going to say, Chair, I can't sign off, for example, for Mitchell Park if that came through, and that would have to go through the Section 48 and back to Council. But I could sign off on the contract for the BMX track, which is 3.75, for example.
Right. Councillor Telfer, to move as printed. Is that seconded? Councillor Pryor. I'm just pausing because I'm just reviewing it's really just a quick notice. Just reviewing the delegations to do with the representation review on page 262, since I know that's a matter of particular interest to elected members. That's all. That's all right. The Chief Executive's been given a duty to conduct and complete a review to see if it would be worth altering ward structure, but I'm sure you would ask us about that, Mr. Skull, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, I don't see any problem then. If there are no one speaking against, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously, and we've just dealt with 50% of the agenda right there. Page 521, the third budget review. Now, this was one where I had a question. One of the things that I've been going on about a bit is calling things by names which mean something to members of the community or even elected members. So on page 535, for example, when we've got our list of consultants, we've got strategic projects, civil services, and I just wonder if it can be explained a bit more what they are.
To the Chair, Strategic progress relates to funding, which relates to major projects. We have changed some of the descriptions based on your comments in the past, and we probably didn't capture everything, probably. But when we capture this information, it goes by work area description. So strategic projects area is John Ballantyne's budget, so it relates to things like Tonsley, Oaklands Crossing, Glenthorne Farm, BMX. So they're the major costs in relation to that cost centre there, the 23,750. Civil, the civil area is a civil work area, which I think it'll be Matt Allen's area, so it'll be some civil work. So we did try to capture and change some of the headings based on your previous feedback, but maybe we haven't captured everything for you.
Oh, no, that's all right.
So, members... would someone like to move? Councillor Telfer?
True the chair. That we go through the waste contract, we gauge what collection, what levels we're actually collecting, so we'll adjust our costs as they're happening. If you note here, we've had an unfavourable adjustment of 63. In the previous two budget reviews, we'd had two favourable adjustments, one for 100,000, one for 140. So we're actually ahead of our actual budget overall, but we will monitor that and adjust that as it happens, because the levels go up depending on the tonnage, etc., that's collected from the curbside waste. So that is monitored. So we do expect to have a saving in that contract, in that overall.
So that was moved, Councillor Telfer. Councillor Crossan, you have a question?
I'm happy to second it, but I actually just wanted to add to that. Is the, if I may, Your Worship, just to clarify that question. With the 63 unfavourable, is that, because our contract for collection is fixed, so is that really the cost of the landfill, is it also connected with the extra levy that we've been charged? Was that not budgeted for?
They're all factored in that. It depends on the levels of waste. Like, we have the fixed price on the contract, and we work out the levels on the tonnage. That does vary month to month, so there will be an up or down, but we have actually, it does include all that, and we have budgeted for the extra levies and gate fees, etc. So it is captured that it really refers to the quantities as opposed to the actual costs. But as I say, it is an overall positive variance. We have actually a positive variance of 177,000 on our waste contract at the moment.
Thank you, and I'm happy to second that motion, Your Worship.
Any other questions or speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Although that's carried unanimously. Thank you. On to page 536, Trott Park Art Streets. There was some humour about this one, as I suggested to bring this to council before some further work was done, but I think a bit more work has been done, Mr. Lyons, and what are we up to with this project?
Your Worship, I have apologised for not holding the project and bringing this to council before we did any more work. So we have let a small contract. Its value is about $4,000 or $5,000 to do a scoping study for some potential outcomes. For those, I know this report didn't go out into the draft report, so I will advise that there's a nice little opportunity for some community building at Trott Park, where we've got a number of streets that are named after prominent major Australian artists, and we want to do something with that. And so a small consultancy has been let to get some ideas and consult with the local community about how to make the most of that opportunity.
Well, look, I raised it because I actually don't think there's support for it in the community, to be honest. But Councillor Valescu, you've got a question?
A couple of questions. I guess I want to know, was this community initiated or staff initiated?
Mr. Lyons?
I'll ask Marg Iscombe to respond to these sorts of questions.
Ms Edgecombe.
This project came to staff's attention when we were doing some of the work in the community capacity building project down in Trott Park, when we had a shop front as an art shop front to do some engagement work with the local community and connect them to the neighbourhood centre. At the time we were doing some work with them, with the community there, it was apparent that many of the community hadn't made that connection between the naming of those streets and the sort of unique cultural activity that we had down there. And so staff started to think about what the possibilities of that project were. As I said in the report, it's a unique Australian unique situation, and or a situation that's unique in Australia, and it raises some potential tourism opportunities in the area, and we're just at this stage scoping the project to see if there's any legs in it. And there could be, it could be something that continues on with some external funding, or it could be something that we just do a small engagement process in.
And Ms Edgecombe, what does the scoping by the creatives actually entail?
There's a few examples in the report, but they're basically going around, they will go around if the project goes ahead, with a number of engagement processes. There's about 10 that they've identified, one at the Trott Park Community Centre working at an event that's already programmed for June, and that's a mural on the shed walls there that was going to be needing to be done anyway. And the other sort of engagement processes are they're sort of artistic interventions in the community that will raise awareness of that project. They've got a T-shirt design that lists all the names and sort of has a branding of Trott Park with all the artist names on it. They plan to go around with an art van, referring to the way a lot of these artists worked in en plein air, as they call it, you know, travelling around in the community to paint, and similarly a bike project doing the same thing, labelling the street signs with little flags to raise awareness that these streets were named after major Australian artists, having a blog that collects information from the community to see where the community may want to go with this. Some of the ideas that have been flagged already are things like developing an app with that people could walk around. I don't know if members have seen apps that they're often used in historical areas, that you can walk around, put the phone up, and it shows you what the area might have been like. So this is an opportunity to do an education process where people could walk around the streets and hold up the app and see the work of the artist and get a bit more of a feel about what that artist's style was. And we've consulted with several of the schools in the area, and they're keen to be involved and use it as an education process. So it's got a whole lot of potentials, but we're just scoping it at the moment.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask about the community capacity building program as well. That was some years ago, was it? I'm just not sure if it was last council or this council.
It was during the last council.
And did that have a report come to council? As I do recall there being an artistic presence in the old chemist shop in
yes,
the Trott Park neighbourhood
right.
centre. Oh, sorry, not neighbourhood, the neighbourhood shops, rather, at the northern end, you know.
Through the chair, I'm not sure whether there was a final report on that project. I think, I'm looking at Liz Byrne, I think that community capacity building project in Trott Park has now been absorbed into the activities of the neighbourhood centre. The community capacity building projects were being driven by the Community Development Department, and that's now, some of that work is now happening at the community centre. The groups that were developed as part of that process are now running their own groups at the community centre.
Okay, Councillor Westwood.
I might as well move the motion anyway, but if I may just say that community capacity building also included the community garden that's out there, so that was actually covered under that funding, I believe. Bit of a side issue there.
Telfer, a question?
Include Stobie poles, painting Stobie poles?
To be fair, I mean, it could be, but to be fair, I don't think there are too many Stobie poles in Trott Park.
They're quite difficult to put core flutes up on, actually. Right, any other questions? We've got... it's been moved, but not yet seconded. Councillor Crossland, a question?
Yeah, my question is, we've previously been told that there's no discretionary spending, and to get a project off the ground like this, it would take a general council meeting if any of the members around this table wanted to do it. I'm still a little uneasy as how we end up committing to a spend and maybe building up community expectations when it's not even the ward councillors aren't even aware it's going on. I'm just a bit uneasy about that. I know we're sort of going into the realms of operational and overview, but they are seeming to collide here a little bit, that we actually don't know what's going on under our very noses.
What do you say about the process issue, Ms Edgecombe?
That's a good point, Councillor. In my time at Marion, which is coming up for 10 years, we've never in our areas in terms of sort of operational programming had to bring projects like this to council. We have with built form type projects in, say, the public art area. But, you know, a lot of the programs that we run in arts and culture, community development, libraries, neighbourhood centres, we don't bring those individual project ideas to council. It's something that, you know, council may want to consider if you'd like us to do that, but it hasn't been a practice that we've done in the past. So,
okay, Councillor Gard. Second, yes. Any more for any more? Councillor Valescu.
Can we look at revisiting this with a focus on local artists in the whole community? The reason I ask is I don't see Trott Park as an area which would have a lot of interest in the great artists as opposed to other suburbs throughout the city or interstate. I think it's valuable knowing about artists, but I don't know if this is the best project for the area, knowing the area somewhat. So I was just wondering if there's anything we can do to increase the buy-in, I guess, and recognise the current artists within throughout the whole city. I don't know. Is there, you know, could we do a little bit more? And I say that because I'm a supporter of the arts, I'm a supporter of the historical arts, and sometimes if the arts miss the mark, they actually are vulnerable for those that aren't supportive of the arts. So I think we need to get these right. So that's just what I'm asking you.
Ms Edgecombe, your response?
Absolutely. That's why we're doing a scoping project to work out what the best way to address this unique situation could be. So the engagement process hopefully will bring up a whole lot of ideas, as well as the sort of stakeholder engagement we're doing with people like the AGSA and seeing what's possible. Interestingly, the AGSA keep stats on people who come to the gallery from various areas, and Marion is reasonably well attended, and they're sort of keen to keep that engagement going.
That's by postcode, is it, to the art gallery?
I assume that's how they do that. Yeah.
Yes, I think I've been asked my postcode on my many visits to the art gallery. Now, as long as councillors understand that by voting for the motion to note the report, you're approving it up to this point and beyond to the next expenditure point, I presume. Councillor Crossland?
I mean, I might be in the minority, but I just wonder if maybe we can just break standing orders just for a general discussion and what people's views are, and then at least staff have a feeling of whether this will get support or not, because it just seems strange that we're going to spend all this time, and if it doesn't get council support, then it's really a lot of time and effort for nothing.
You're moving to suspend standing orders?
Yes, please, Your Worship.
Is that seconded? Can Councillor Whistler second it? Spoken. Well, we'll take. Is there anyone else? Councillor Pryor? Councillor Pryor seconded the suspension. Very well. Standing orders are suspended for general discussion. Did you want to? Well, perhaps I could ask one thing. If Council votes yes, what happens next, and when does it next come back to Council? Sorry. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you.
May I speak by chance? Okay.
Just a question about what is the next time that we would see this after, if it goes through tonight?
The plan that we had in place was, the thinking that we had in place was that we'd be looking for external funding for a project such as this. It's got the potential to attract Australia Council funding. So we probably wouldn't have been intending to bring it back to Council unless that's something that Council wants us to do with this sort of project.
Well, I guess that is the discussion that Councillor Crossland wished to initiate because, my feeling is that we'd like to see more of these things come to Council. As Councillor Bălescu pointed out, some of the examples we see of public art call into question Council spending, and it's a terrible shame when we might spend $5,000 on a piece of art and people think we're wasting $5 million because they really don't like that piece of art. And we all wear that, and it then becomes more difficult to spend more money on artistic initiatives. So that, I think that's the context. But Councillor Crossland, what do you think?
Yeah, that was where I'm coming from, is if it's really not got the support of the community, we've already wasted their money before they got the chance to have a say, and we're pretty much going to wear that because we've not really had a say either. And the other thing that I keep in the back of my mind is the way in which we ended up with the Anzac project, where we got into financial needing some bailout to get a project finished that was started, and again we weren't even aware it was being done until it came back to us for money. So that's really where I'm just got some concerns.
For the benefit of staff, I echo those concerns. I think a lot of members would share the concern about the process for the Anzac film project. I can say I attended the screening on Saturday. It was absolutely brilliant, superb product at the end of it. But the process that occurred, where so much staff commitment was made and indeed expenditure occurred without Council knowing, that was the concern. That was the process concern. Sorry, Ms. Edgecombe, did you want to respond to that? Or?
Only in reiterating what I'd said before about the operational processes, projects never coming to Council before. We, in our community-based areas, we don't have the opportunity to come to ward briefings very often. Ward briefings are generally around potholes and streets and built form things, and so it's very rare that we've got the opportunity to report to Council. But that's certainly a procedural thing that we can look at.
Well, look, Councillor Westwood is next, but I just have to follow up that point. If the artistic team or the community, whatever team, have a ward-specific item, surely it is possible to request through management that they attend the ward briefing for the benefit of the councillors, or is that not the case? Mr. Scott?
I think there's a great opportunity here for us to engage a little bit better with the wards, and I think we will going forward. And if I can say on this one, you've got 40 streets in Trott Park, which already have put this little suburb on the map. And this isn't about changing that, but it's just about leveraging that. But we've actually made a mistake, I think, by not engaging yet with elected members and the community to say, this is quite amazing, 40 streets named after Australian artists. Same with the Anzac World War II veteran movie, which was a wonderful result, as the Mayor said, but we didn't engage as well as we might.
Councillor Westwood.
Yes, just on the point of addressing ward briefings, I certainly would support all areas of council administration in coming to ward briefings whenever they have a project that particularly concerns that ward. Absolutely. Just a little comment also, now that we have standing orders being suspended, I did note on the beautiful work of art that's on the side, on the southern side of the Trott Park Neighbourhood Centre, had a bit of high tech added to it. There were three air conditioning units put in front of the painting, so that's rather interesting.
What they call an installation.
Yes, well, I think it was a high tech, and I just wondered if they were going to be painted at all.
We'll look into that. Oh, thank you.
Yes. Well, at least the artist should be acknowledged. Councillor Hull?
This is a question in relation to process. Now, we hear that this was in some way a decision of the previous council. Now, I have a reasonable memory for stuff like this, and I'd like to pick the brains of the former members of the council. Does anybody here remember this at all?
Staff are saying it wasn't a decision, it was just practice adopted by staff over time.
Well, that's not the previous council, that's the administration. Because that's a fluid thing, it doesn't stop and start. It's not a previous council, it's the administration is a fluid and continual engagement of staff. It's not the previous council.
Well, I think what Ms. Edgecombe was saying was that in her 10 years at council, this has been the practice. So the practice of administration, and there hasn't been any variation of that practice by the elected council. Is that a fair summary?
Right, okay. Well, look, I'd like to know more about it, but it would be nice to have more ownership of things going forward. The previous CEO said that he didn't like surprises. Well, the elected members don't like surprises either.
Marion Council's full of surprises, but anyway, it doesn't mean they're bad surprises. Councillor Gard, then back to Councillor Westwood.
Yeah, I was really delighted to see this one on the agenda. I think it's fair to say that Adelaide came of age when the arts started to arrive in the 60s and 70s, and I think the city of Marion is on the verge of coming of age right now. You feel these things in your water, really. It's sort of a case of 1 minute it's not there, the next minute it is. But
Councillor Gard, I don't want to interrupt the flow of your waters, but
No.
Not at all. But if we talk about the process and how council should deal with these artistic interventions,
I'm definitely coming to that. One of the things that we have at the moment in the city of Marion is a contrast, and that is we've got, I believe, with the exception of Councillor Westwood's area, which he really does add life to, in Shido Park, the Trott Park, Shido Park zone is pretty bereft of art and anything that puts heart and soul into it. Yet it is a beautiful area, and so I believe we need to stand back from the canvas and formalise these sorts of activities, bring them more into our strategy. Grab the whole thing by the throat, in other words, and say, okay, well, even fairness and equity again, what do we have on the Marion Plains and what don't we have in the hills? But then really become, get on the front foot rather than the reactive foot about what's happening and where things are going to go. And that is partly a process of educating the public, because it is correct to say that, as Councillor Velisco has just said, that it may not be as appreciated in Trott Park, But the beginnings of creating the Heart and Soul is to educate people. And so that behoves us to be more strategic. Hence the process is needing formalisation, I believe.
All right. Yes, I think you might have got to the point right at the end there. Thank you. Councillor Westwood.
Yes, I have to say that I've heard bits and pieces about artwork in Trott Park, Shiloh Park, or Trott Park in particular, but it's just through personal contact, having to be on the spot. Of course, I should have probably read more widely, but I can't read everything. To myself, I think that I'd like to just let this go and see where it takes us with the scoping. But I do support the idea of the city is, in general, taking hold of art in some way to see where that can go. But on this occasion, I'm quite happy to see this continue. But I do have to also add that as a local councillor, I would like to know specifically more about projects that are going to happen in our area, just a little line here and there occasionally.
All right.
Thanks.
Councillor Valescu had something? Yes? Okay, I resume standing orders. No, I don't, because I want to hear from Councillor Pfeiffer first.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm sure you do. Look, I don't begrudge these sorts of arts opportunities. I have supported quite a few arts opportunities that we've had throughout the council in the past. I do want more oversight over these sorts of projects. I think that point's been made by a couple of people. Look, I do support doing something down in Trott Park as well. It's a wonderful part of the council. It's a part that, you know, I personally don't know as well as other parts of the council, and we need to do something down there. I don't grudge that. Look, I don't know if this is exactly the right opportunity to be chasing up, because, I don't know, I mean, at the end of the day, these 40 artists don't have any personal connection to that part of the world necessarily, other than the fact that we had a street naming convention back 40 years ago that named them. You know, like, it's, we've got street naming conventions all around the council for various things. We've got 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th Avenue in Ascot Park, you know, like, it's just, it's really interesting that we've had 40 streets named after artists, but those artists don't have anything to do with Trott Park, really.
It's better than the usual developer who names the streets after their grandchildren. But all right, I resume standing orders. It's been moved and seconded. Any more takers? Otherwise, I'll just put the vote. Everyone's had a good say. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? I'll call for the affirmative again. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? That is a tie. I cast my vote in the negative. So, I'm not sure, unless anyone's going to move another motion, we'll simply move on in the agenda. All right, I think it's probably best that we move on rather than do something on the run. Oh, Councillor Westwood?
It does seem a bit funny that we're not actually noting the report. It's as if we're turning our backs on the report. We cannot approve the, any funding, perhaps.
Councillor, I think you're making a point of order, but it's not that unusual because if such a vote is taken, it normally means that there might be another solution that the council is striving for. But I think if we just leave it there now, it can be considered between meetings. So we move on to... thank you, Ms. Edgecombe. We've got three reports which I suggest could be taken en bloc. There'll still be plenty of opportunity to ask questions. You've got the organisational KPIs, you've got the finance report and the WHMS report. Someone like to move those three en bloc? Councillor Hutchinson is against... seconded. Councillor Crossland. Now, any questions? Councillor Gard.
Yeah, just at the bottom of page 551, under the heading of capital, I know this might seem like another one of my bright ideas, but we have the bottom line, or the total for capital expenditure, etc., under that heading of capital, and then following that we have the various charts. But I find it, particularly at the end of a financial year, a bit hard to get perspective on the capital expenditure versus what has been, you know, what's been budgeted, what's been completed, etc., or committed and actual. Could we not have a numeric chart which summarises each of those charts that follow numerically and arrive at the grand total so that we can see the relativity of each type of capital of expenditure as it, and then the total under it?
Councillor Gard, I think that's a classic sort of question which could be best taken up between meetings. It's certainly a good question, because we do want good, clear, easily assimilated information.
Yep.
But I think it's one of those things that probably if you sat down with someone from Mr. Barnwell or someone from finance, talked about what would be the easiest way to get the information across, then probably best way to get to a result rather than during a meeting.
Sure. If I may, Your Worship, just do a postscript to that question, could there be a general comment made by management on the main variances in those charts? There's roads, curbing and footpath, or roads and curbing in particular, but just to... so we get the job done.
Will there be either Mr. Lyons or Mr. Barnwell, perhaps?
Mr. Barnwell? Through the chair, Bishop. The roads, just first in roads, which obviously is, it is displaying large variance. Now there has been a huge amount of work done in the last couple of months. As the report notes, that 75% of the works are actually carried out. Contractors completed 35,000 square metres of work in April and they're about to do 65,000 over the next couple of months. So it's been a big focus from Mr. Lyons and the team and Matt Allen to actually push that contractor to make sure those works are completed by the end of the year. And from my understanding at dealing with the Matt's team is that they are confident that the works will be completed as forecast. Now, they do show we are... waiting on invoices coming through, which we'll see the funding is quite low. There's funding due for March, which has come through in May, from the contractor, which is in the order of $700,000 or $800,000, and there's a substantial amount of money invoices coming through for the last couple of months as well. So they are confident that the works will be done, and they put a lot of pressure on the contractor to make sure the works are completed.
Now, I'd like to add something on this general point. Councillor Hull in the Infrastructure Committee, I think, had raised a question about carryovers, and we know in the past it has been a concern. As a result of that, I met with Mr. Lyons, Mr. Mifsud and Mr. Skull, and went through the issue, including these graphs, in some detail. And I must say, it's actually a very good news story for the council. We could see that just prior to the end of last council, the situation was worsening, but in the last 18 months, you could say, it's been improving quite drastically. And the carryover, there will always be a carryover amount for capital expenditure, and I'm excluding grants there. We're talking about a true carryover of works that were planned but not done. We've not only been catching up on previous years' capital works which weren't done, but getting up to date on our current year's capital works. So there might still be something like a 15% carryover, and one can argue about whether the target should be 10% or 15%, but that's a dramatic improvement on the last couple of years. So it's a credit to Mr. Lyons, Mr. Allen, a number of people. Did you want to add to that, Mr. Lyons?
I agree with that, over the, Your Worship. Over the last couple of years, our carryovers have reduced from 7-odd million down to 5, down to 4 this year, and as the Mayor has said, that has included catching up from the previous carryover each year, so it is a very good success story. This year we're on track now to have a carryover of 3.6, not the 4 million that was advised 2 months ago, and we're having weekly meetings with our road reseal contractor at the moment. The next one's this coming Friday, and Matt Allen wouldn't support me in this, but I will stick my neck out and say I've got absolute confidence that we will have the entire road reseal program delivered this year.
Any other questions on those, on any of those three reports, Councillor Telfer?
In the finance report, is it time to rename the Mitchell Park Sports and Community Centre project? Because it's not only the Mitchell Park Sports and Community Centre, it's the Dover Gardens Dog Club, the Neighbourhood Centre, Southern Adelaide, Unknown Indoor Sports. Is it time to have a community survey or a competition like we had for the library at Hallegove to get an appropriate new name for a new project?
Yes, look, can staff just take that on board and some discussions can be had between meetings? Thank you. Councillor Pryor?
I'm interested in the streetscaping graph, if you like. That looks a fair way away from completed, although it's trending in the right direction. Just a little comment on that would be appreciated. I mean, there's some comment down below, but just a clarification there.
Mr. Lyons?
It's on page 557.
Sorry, Mr. Barnwell will take that.
Through the Chair, just to, obviously, initially we had the design phase, which wouldn't show, obviously, the obviously more expensive capital works. There's a design phase was in there first, so the FECC in March and April, the actual funding has started to wrap up. We would have been out to contract, and the works will be carried over in May and June, so we do expect that funding to be spent as well. Mr. Lyons may be able to give some further detail on it. But
yeah, just a reminder, if I may, that this is just the two streets to kick us off on the program, so we did do the design component this year as well. I think it's fair to say that in this particular one there will be a carryover of these two into the next year, but it is a very small amount, and as you know, we're doing the design of Alawuna right now. That'll be completed this financial year, and then we'll be constructing Alawuna in the next 12 months, so then we'll be on track with our cyclical process.
Right. Any more? Then I'll put it to a vote. All those in favour? Those against? That's carried by unanimously. Thank you very much. Questions on notice. We note on page 563 Councillor Crossland's question about cost shifting, and of course we're talking about shifting costs from state government to local government. And page 565 we note Councillor Crossland's question on SA housing and a very informative table which shows how when public housing comes out of public hands, essentially, all of the ratepayers pay quite a little bit more each year if we go from a situation of rate rebates to no rebate. So that was most informative. Page 567, Roundhouse at the Oaklands Recreation Plaza. The Mayor drafted the motion, but I'm happy for any councillor to move it if there is anyone. Now, we've got some data which Ms Dixon's going to hand out, I think. On the desks.
Yeah, I made sure that.
Extreme efficiency. Councillors had it before the meeting. Councillor Hull?
Mr Mayor, can I just pose a question to start with? You mentioned earlier in the meeting about terminology and our community's ability to understand what we're talking about. Would I be wrong in suggesting that there may have been confusion about what is a contemporary rotunda? Because a contemporary rotunda, in my head at least, are all the rotundas that we see around Adelaide. That is a contemporary rotunda.
And Councillor Hull, you may well be right. It's hard to know what the community understanding is, but of course it refers not to the age of the facility, but rather to the a departure from classical design principles.
Yes. Okay. Mr Mayor, look, I'm going to chance my hand here and move a motion that I think is right down the alley that you're hoping for, and that is that the City of Marion constructs a European heritage-style rotunda with a cupola. Now, I did Google cupola. It's nothing to do with the Italian community. It's actually a little raised bit above the rotunda. I think that's what you're looking for and what I'm looking for and what the community might be looking for. Now, that would be a sizeable structure. I think we're talking about 8 metres or something like that, as I was told by staff. It's interesting that the graph that we were provided, Mr Mayor, in the report handed out, is almost a peace symbol in terms of the tripartite approach to how this should be built. I feel that there may have been confusion with the community in terms of what the definition of contemporary was, but it's pretty even, 35%, 35%, 30%. I really think that this is the way to go. It actually may well be a cost saving because the original budget that we supported was for $120,000, something like that. A standard heritage-style cupola, as I'm proposing, would probably come in less than that. And therefore, I'm happy to move that motion that we actually do go with the European heritage-style with the cupola as per the Appendix 2.
Is that seconded? Councillor Pryor?
Just to support this design, I think it goes well with the area and to make sure that we've got in there, as it stands, a provision for the band to play in this area, assuming they might get a little bit bigger in the future as well, so that would be good to allow for that.
Councillor Vlescu?
Questions. First of all, I was just curious if the person who, yourself, your worship, if this is what you had envisaged for a Victorian era? That's my first question.
Well, you know, doing work for the community in this democratic context involves compromise, and it's not an unreasonable compromise. It may not be going back in the time machine to the Victorian era, but it pays homage to it.
And my second question is, are there any issues as far as the practicality of the cupola, any potential issues with flooding or winds or anything like that, water runoff, that sort of stuff?
That's a question for staff, Ms Dixon.
Through the chair, no.
Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, I'd just like to know, Your Worship, if these are obviously concept designs, so what we're actually looking at may not be identical to what's actually built. And I just want to know that this process will be an ongoing process with the ward councillors so that they can get some buy-in to maybe visualise what they're expecting there, whether it needs to be a raised rotunda, whether it could be made more Victorian-looking, but... I'd like them to be at least involved in the process, so if it does need to come back to council for an endorsement of some sort, they can do that, rather than just have it built and then go, we didn't realise what we were building.
As the report suggests, if approved, the rotunda would be designed and costed and incorporated into the entire Rec Plaza Stage 2 final design, but one would hope that it's an iterative process and would come back to at least ward councillors before that final design hits the desk here at council. Ms Dixon, do you want to comment?
Through the chair, yes, that's correct. The plan is to continue to engage with ward councillors through the detailed design process.
Thank you. Councillor Gard.
I was just wondering if it's possible to make a request. There's a magnificent photograph, albeit a small one, of the Oaklands homestead in the foyer now, and it shows the veranda bracketing, the decorative veranda bracketing under the fascias of the front veranda, and that could be, in the right scale, ideal to repeat on the rotunda and perhaps even related somehow to Oaklands. Just a thought.
I fully appreciate your aesthetic sensitivities, Councillor Gard. I hope the designers share them as well. Councillor Westwood?
Just a warning, just in case. The roofing looks as if it possibly could be some kind of colour bond, or at worst, some kind of coppery thing like the stuff that covers the cultural centre. Councillor Crossland and I happen to be looking at that area recently, and the metal covering looks really ugly and nicely decorated with bitumen that's supposed to be sealing it but melted in the summer, so I hope we don't go down that road. Thank you. Just a warning.
Thank you. Councillor Telfer.
Can I ask about how many people attended the consultation on the 6th of May as a broad estimate? The reason for my asking is that 80 electronic survey responses were received from that consultation and from the 830 households that were distributed, and I'm wondering if hard copy responses could also have been entered into, because 80 now, we're looking at about 30 people having a viewpoint on a European heritage style.
Ms Dixon?
Through the chair, approximately 40 to 50 people attended on the day. Of the 80 respondents that we received, one was in hard copy and staff entered that in to produce the report. We also checked with our records department, and there's another one that we received late today in hard copy.
Yes.
So could we have had some hard copy forms at the consultation because we were told to go home and put it up on the electronics?
Through the chair, we also had hard copies on the day available for people. My understanding, and Mr Grimm may want to correct me, but we did encourage to enter it on. Staff had iPads on the day so we could capture the results straight away. It's just a more efficient way of getting the results so we can analyse them and make them available to members. The full report of the consultation will come back to council in June, so the results of that consultation. and that will include the ones that we may have received at the last minute today through the post.
Yeah, it certainly was surprising to have no more than two hard copy responses. Right, any more? Otherwise, I'll put that to the vote, I think. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? Oh, that was unanimous, wasn't it? Yeah, unanimous. Thank you. And that concludes the business of the evening. I declare the meeting closed. Thank you.